You might think that Paul has had a rough enough time already in Lystra. I mean, people saw him heal a crippled man, but instead of turning towards God, they had considered Paul to be a god instead. And he was only barely able to convince them not to sacrifice to him. All of that would have been bad enough. But now we see that Jews from the previous cities that he had been in were following him around. And not by accident either. I mean, Antioch in Pisidia was almost 100 miles away from Lystra, and Iconium was at least 20. Nobody in those days traveled those kinds of distances just on a whim. They did it purely by intention. They were there to cause trouble, which of course they did. Luke tells us that they stirred up the crowd in Lystra and convinced them that Paul was a danger to them, a danger that needed to be eliminated. The sentence was soon passed. Paul was stoned and dragged out of the city, probably to be dumped into a pit or a common grave and left for dead. It's hard to imagine a worse situation to be in. But God preserved his life, Christians. The disciples gathered round about him, and Paul got up again. No doubt he was in pretty rough shape. I mean, being stoned meant that he was at least bruised and battered if he didn't have a broken bone here or there. And in a condition like that, you might be tempted to think that the work was just over, that it was clear that there's no point in continuing. They tried to kill me after all, so maybe it's just time to go back home. But that's not what Paul did. Bruised and battered, he went right back into Lystra, where he continued to preach the gospel. And Luke tells us that on the following day he went on to Derbe, where he preached the gospel there too and had better success. Many disciples were made in that city. And after he gets done at Derbe, he turns right back around and traces his footsteps back through Lystra, through Iconium, and through Antioch, going right back into the lion's den. He was refusing to let nearly dying stop the work of the Lord. But Paul's experiences made him realize that things were not going to be easy for these new disciples. I mean, Paul, after all, would get to go home. He would leave the area again, and his time was soon coming to a close. But these new disciples would still be there. And if the Jews had attacked Paul for the sake of Christ, sooner or later they were going to do the same thing to them. So how then could they be prepared for what was to come, for what must come in the days ahead? So Paul, on his way back home, tries to encourage them and to prepare them for the future. As Luke says in verse 22 of our reading, he was strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The way to the kingdom of God is not soft and easy, Christians, as if it is a feather bed. The way to the kingdom of God is through tribulation. It is through toil and suffering. In other words, the way to the kingdom is through the cross, and only through the cross. Because only through that cross will we finally enter into glory. What happened to Paul could very well also happen to them. They too may very well be stoned for the sake of Christ. Maybe, maybe not. But whatever shape their cross would take, Paul called for them to be prepared for it, and to even let his own example of continuing on in the face of it, to remain steadfast through it all. And Christians, the same is also true for us. The way to heaven is not wide and easy. The way to destruction is wide and easy, as Jesus says. The way to life is narrow and hard. And what makes it narrow and hard is that the road to heaven is a cross. And what our cross is going to be, whatever shape it's going to take, is only known to God, because he, in his wisdom, is the one who lays it upon us. Some may be called to die for the sake of Christ. Some may be called to endure physical pain. Some may be called to give up many things for the sake of God. Some may be called to walk alone, even in their own family. And some may be called to endure some kind of thorn in the flesh, some constant trouble that refuses to go away. Thing is, Christians, I'm going to bear my cross, whatever God gives to me. You will bear yours, whatever that cross may be. And it is only through that cross that God will bring you to heaven. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And knowing that then, Christians, should we turn away from that cross? Should we say that it's too much, that it's too hard, that it's not worth the cost? I mean, if I were Paul, for example, laying battered outside Lystra, what would I say? Would I say enough is enough, that it was time to give it up, time to turn back and to let it all go? Is that what I would do? Does having to bear a cross make us uncomfortable? Does even the smallest opposition, the lightest burden, make us want to give it up? Or does even the thought of a cross make us impatient, fearful of what we must endure? But Paul did not let his near-death experience stop him. He got up and he continued on the way, proclaiming the very same gospel in the city that had stoned him. And he would go on to do the same all throughout the area and right back on the same way again. Paul established churches, committed them to the Lord, all on his way home. And once he got back home, he gave thanks for everything that had been done, for everything that had happened on his trip. Not the least bit impatient or upset or concerned or hesitant, because he recognized that God had opened a door for the Gentiles, and his power was still at work, so that even Paul's bruised and battered body was not a curse, but a blessing for new Christians, because his suffering had prepared them to endure much for the sake of God. And so it is for us Christians. God is not trying to crush us. God is not seeking to break us by laying a heavy cross upon us, whatever that cross may be. God means it for our good. And even if we can't see how right now, that cross is meant to be a blessing, because it is only through that cross that we are being made to be like Jesus. Jesus, who himself carried the cross for our good to save us from our sins. And if the cross of Jesus brought such great good for us that it brought salvation to the entire world, why should we think our cross to be evil? Regardless of what we are called to endure, it will be for our good. And more than this, Christians, Jesus, after his cross, after his suffering and death, entered into glory. The cross is not a permanent thing. We are not called to bear that cross for all eternity. It is something that will that will give way, that will be taken away when we enter into the eternal blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's say, for example, our cross is martyrdom. Let's say that it is God's will that we die for our faith. At the worst, we lose our earthly life. But then we enter into heaven, where there will be no more suffering or pain, and where death will be no more. A brief moment of suffering gives way to an eternity with God. Why then should we be afraid? And besides, Christians, God has cared for you up to this point. He's brought you through trial after trial in the past, through crosses that he laid upon you for a time, but also in his wisdom and mercy took them away again. So why should we doubt his goodness now? Why should we think that this one is too hard for us to bear? God will give you the strength to endure. And through the cross, he will make you to be like Jesus, to be with him in glory forever. Why then should I turn away? Therefore, Christians, take up your cross. Bear it with steadfastness and patience, trusting in your Father who has laid it upon you in love, so that when he takes it away again in love, you will see the goodness of the Lord and will be able to give thanks to him for it, both now and in eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who conforms us to the image of your Son through the crosses you lay upon us, give us patience to endure and lead us to always trust in you, for you work all things for good for those who love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.